Jets win 42-34, and to break it down and go next level on the Jets, we bring in Connor Hughes, covers the Jets for The Athletic. Hey, Connor, how are you?
I'm doing well, Lori. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So what's your headline? Your headline for your, you know, if you're for your story for The Athletic, what's your headline coming out of this game?
Yeah, I think it's honestly that you have a. I think the thing with this game is that it's pretty interesting, right? Because this was a game that the Jets should have won. You know, the Colts, they were decimated by injuries. Mm-hmm. Even when they've got their guys healthy. They're still not a very good football team. It's basically Andrew Luck and then absolutely nothing. So this is a game that the Jets were supposed to win. They're a better team than the Colts. It's one that they should pull out and get the victory. But in the past, this is the game that they lose, right? This is the mm-hmm. game that they fall flat. They embarrass themselves. They don't show up, and then they pull out the loss. So, you know, you kind of have to grade it kind of in two different ways, because you grade it in that, okay, the Jets won this game, but it's also a game that they should have won. But you also compare it to the fact that this is a game that the Jets usually lose. So this is something where you can see a team starting to develop. You can see a team starting to grow. You can see a team starting to find their identity and learn to win these games. And it's all about building the picture and moving forward and taking that next step and really developing and learning and growing. And, you know, Todd Bowles and pretty much every single player in that locker room said after the game that this game last year is one that we lose. This year we won. And it's a step. It's a sign that they're headed in the right direction. And then the big test obviously is going to be this coming weekend against the Vikings, because, you know, that's a team. They're not the Broncos. They're not the they're obviously not the Colts. That's a team some think is a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I thought the turning point was the drive before halftime. From a psychological standpoint, to me, I call that that's like the bar mitzvah drive, where in the past, you know, games earlier this season, and it felt like the Jets were a little bit nervous about the kid quarterback, the rookie quarterback, and there it was. 42 seconds left, ball on their own 28-yard line. What were the Jets going to do? Were they going to take a knee and be satisfied up seven? And instead, they go for it with Sam Darnold. They put the offense in his hands. And so, were there comments about that from players, coaches in the locker room, you know, afterwards? And what did it show you in terms of development or milestones for him?
It was a big one, I think, because it was kind of like you said, it was a sign that the training wheels are coming off. You know, mm-hmm. the Jets haven't necessarily handcuffed Sam at any point this year, but you have seen situations where they played a conservative, where they've kind of geared things back a little bit and played things safe. And that was one of the times where they did not do that. And, you know, that drive was absolutely big. But the one play on that drive that I think was the biggest was that, you know, Sam hit Terrell Pryor for a gain of 5, and I think it was 26, mm-hmm. and then he hit that out route to Robbie Anderson. And it set it up where I think it was 20-something seconds left.
Yep.
They were at the 36-yard line.
Yeah, 22 seconds left,
Yeah, so 36-yard line, and that's right at the fringe of field goal range, mm-hmm. because Jason Myers is a cannon for a leg. He can definitely kick it there. Not easy, but he's got that length. I thought, having seen this team play the previous 5 weeks, you know, a month and a half or so, that this was the thing where they were going to run it with Bilal Powell up the middle, center the ball, then bring the field goal unit on. They didn't have any timeouts, all that stuff. They didn't do that. They not only let Sam Darnold throw, but they trusted him to release the ball with the right amount of time to get it to Jermaine Kearse down the field for 22 yards, then get the team lined up, then spike the ball, and still have enough time to get the field goal unit on. And he executed it perfectly. They had 3 seconds left on the clock, and basically it went from a long field goal attempt for Myers, 50-plus yards, to a chip shot 32-yard field goal. I mean, that transition from going all the way back to the decision to try to get points and not take a knee to all the way to the very last play before the spike and before the field goal to allow him to throw down the field and then get down there and spike. And it really showed the maturation, A, of Sam Darnold to have the wherewithal and the understanding of situational football to execute that play, but for the Jets, too, to allow him that opportunity to execute.
Talking to Connor Hughes from The Athletic. And all right, so we can, you know, we're talking about some of the positives for the Jets. It was a game in the past that the type of game they would have lost, they won. They put up a lot of points, certainly. They scored, you know, 6 possessions in a row. But How do you view the offense? Do you look at it and say, a lot of points, Sam Darnold, high completion percentage, or do you look at the offense and say, seven field goals, that's too many?
Yeah, that's an issue. I mean, off the board because I came by the defense. So, you know, it's so tough to look at this and say, I mean, look, they put up 40 points, I mean, and they won a game and they're second in a row and they won at home and it was exciting, you know, yada, yada. But those field goals are concerning. I mean, this is a Jets team that in the past has had an issue in the red zone. This is a Jets team that has kind of had an issue before with, you know, putting the nail in the coffin, sealing the thing and kind of finishing teams off. And there were a couple of situations there in the fourth quarter where the Jets had to settle for a field goal where a touchdown would have been better and really solidified the win. So, I mean, this was a very big win for the Jets, but it wasn't a perfect game. You know, there are definitely things to work on. Defensively, they still allowed four passing touchdowns to Andrew Luck. I mean, they allowed in that second half, they pretty much could not stop the run. I mean, that was a very big issue. That was a very big concern. And then on the other side of the ball, like you said, the field goals. I mean, they have to be able to punch it in the end zone when they need those points. Because, again, when you're playing a team like the Colts, you can get away with that. You can get away with the seven field goals because you're not going to force some turnovers and all that stuff. When you start playing these teams like the Vikings, like the Bears, like the two against the Patriots that they still have on the schedule, field goals aren't going to cut it. And that's absolutely something that this week in practice, Jeremy Bates, Todd Bowles to an extent, and that entire offensive staff needs to figure out a way to get the ball in the end zone.
All right, you mentioned the defense. And, again, how do you look at this and evaluate? On the one hand, there are the four turnovers that they forced, which is good. But on the other hand, they certainly did, you can say 42 points the Jets scored, but they gave up 34. And you're right, Andrew Luck, with no T.Y. Hilton, it's not like the Colts are loaded with weapons.
No, like you said, Lori, that's something that they've got to go to the drawing board a little bit, because again, if Andrew Luck and Co are putting up that many points against them, like you said, with the weapons that are down, I mean, what's Kirk Cousins going to do in a week? You know, that's really a concern for them. And, you know, I do think part of it has to do with the secondary. I mean, they
right.
were banged up.
Injuries,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
Down Tremaine Johnson, down Buster Skrine. I mean, Tremaine Johnson, I know he's kind of been on the bad graces Jets fans with his start to the season, but he is still their best corner and one of the better in the league. Not having him there, not having Buster Skrine, and that does hurt the team. And when you think about it, the Jets pass rush to start really isn't all that great. You know, they've got Leonard Williams and then a bunch of question marks. So in the first couple of weeks of the season, first 5 weeks of the season, when they had their full secondary in tow, basically what they did was they said, all right, we're going to man up on the outside and then we're going to blitz and we're going to bring the house, because we know that we can't just get pressure with our front four, but we do believe our secondary is good enough to hold up for those 3-4 seconds to allow the blitz to get home. And that's what they did. But what they found themselves in here, again, the situation they found themselves against the Colts, is that they were down two cornerbacks. They were down in a portion of that game, Marcus May, who left with a hand injury, some injuries were classified as after practice. He was in a cast in the locker room. That kind of screws up the plan a little bit, because suddenly now you have a secondary comprised of Perry Nickerson, a sixth round pick, Darrell Roberts, a journeyman, Terrence Brooks at safety, and then a pass rusher that great to begin with. So the points and stuff I think might have been a result of that. But look, I mean, this is the NFL. Sometimes your defense just doesn't come to play, and you need the offense to pick up the slack. And there's going to be other times where it's going to burst. And luckily for the Jets, they had the offense that was able to score enough points to allow their defense to tick up.
You mentioned Marcus May with the injury. Can you give us the injury update? It seemed like a few Jets, obviously Anunua left this one early, but how did the Jets come out of this from an injury perspective?
We'll get the specifics tomorrow. Todd Bowles meets the media on a conference call, not in person, and you know, he said basically after the game that both guys are going to get x-rays. And they're going to need, you know, they'll figure it out. It obviously is not the best sign in the world right now, because, like I said, Marcus May was in the locker room with a hard black cast on his right wrist, obviously, or his right arm, not the whole arm, but like from the wrist down. Todd said it was a thumb injury, which obviously is a big concern. Quincy Enunwa left the locker room very early. He had a walking boot on. Obviously, that's not a good sign as well. So when you have two guys that leave, and then you see them with those, you can visually see that there's something on them. That, I mean, that's usually not a very good sign. So We're going to have to see how severe it is. We're going to see what those X-ray results are and further tests that the Jets are going to get done on Monday. But, I mean, look, the Jets secondary is loaded when you talk about Tremaine Johnson and Morris Claiborne and Jamal Adams. But the glue that holds it together is Marcus May. He's the quarterback. And then the Jets offense, I mean, their receivers are decent, but they don't really have that game-changing dynamic player, which is what Quincy Enunwa is. So if the Jets are going to be missing those two guys for any extended period of time, that's a pretty big blow on offense. And another pretty big one on defense.
So as we look forward, it's 3-3 record. You look at this Jets team, and in terms of the big picture, they don't think they're gonna compete with the Patriots for the division or anything. But is this a team that? Is this season at this point just about the development of the young players and Sam Darnold, or are you starting to get a feeling that it could be something that they could stick around, hang around for a wild card, at least, even if they don't get it, but be competitive with that for a portion of the season?
I think that's the thing. I think that this is about this team being competitive. Todd Bowles wants to keep his job. This coaching staff wants to keep their job. And I think for them to do it, they've got to have a very competitive and a good football team. Now, like you said, no one's expecting them to top the Patriots. No one is expecting them to make a Super Bowl run. And even a wild card is probably out of the question. Now, I think when I always preface it, because when I say a playoff contender, I think 10 wins, right? I think that, again, mm-hmm. there are crazy times when 10 wins doesn't get you in. But when I say a playoff contender, I think a minimum of 10 wins. The Jets, I don't think, are there. I think that they're probably between 7 and 8 wins is what they can realistically expect. Sometimes 7 or 8 wins get you into the playoffs if things break your way, but those are kind of those funky outlier years. So I don't think the Jets are ready to compete for one yet. But this is a team that should be playing meaningful football into December. I think that that's the big thing, is that the Jets don't want to have this thing where they lose to the Vikings, lose to the Bears, lose to the Dolphins, lose to the Bills. It's only you've got 4 straight losses piled up, and this team's 3-7, basically, or 3-6 at that point. I'm sorry, heading into their bye in week 11, and pretty much the season's over. They're not going to win out with 2 more against the Patriots still to play there towards the end of the schedule. So they're out of the playoff picture. This is something where the Jets want to be playing relevant football for a while. They want to have their name in the mix. It's not necessarily, like I said, about making the playoffs, making a push, but it's about playing good competitive football throughout the year. You've seen that for the most part this year. I mean, the Jets in these games have been playing those close contests when it was, they barely lost to the Browns. They barely lost to the Dolphins earlier in the year. They beat the Lions, obviously. They beat the Broncos. They had that one funky game against the Jaguars where they were kind of blown out of the water, but everything else has been pretty close. Those are the kind of games you want to see the rest of the year. You want to see the Jets beat the teams, put together a couple winning streaks, maybe win 3 in a row, lose a game, win 2 more in a row, something along those lines. But it's just about seeing that this team is taking another mm-hmm. step and headed in the right direction. And maybe they don't turn the corner this year, but they start to turn the corner. They reach the corner. Right. You can see that this thing's headed in the right direction. This point, I think you've seen it, but it's about continuing it.
Connor Hughes, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori. I appreciate it.